And everyone said, praise the Lord. Dawson, could you give this to Sister Billy Miller? She's having a birthday, and she's right over there, I think, behind Brother Porfirio. There she is. Well, what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And we're in our abbreviated schedule tonight. We've got a fellowship here at 8 o'clock. You're going to transition over to the other building. And Brother Jeff and his crew have been over there cooking for you for several hours already, and they're ready for you. And continue to be in prayer. We have a bullet point list of things that we're getting together for the bank and for insurance and all of this business that we have to conduct. So we'll be ready for a closing sometime this month. And we've got to get insurance on the new building. And next Tuesday night, I think the folks that are buying this place, they originally said they wanted to have a walkthrough, but I think they're actually going to have a service here. So they're ready to take over, and we're ready for them to take over. So that's a good thing. And so just be in prayer that we walk in wisdom and in the gift of administration, and that God would give us, according to his word, good success and in all that we do. And we want to continue to be in prayer concerning that. Now, we're going to read tonight in James chapter 1, and we'll connect with a place where we spent some time this weekend. Brother Prado, by the way, is coming in on a red eye early Sunday morning. I mean, like 7 o'clock Sunday morning to Birmingham. So he's going to be challenged in his sleep and everything. So he's probably not going to do the afternoon service, the Spanish service. And we both regret that, but I don't want to kill him. I just want him to come and preach. And I talked to him about that day before yesterday. And he'll be back sometime in the near future to cover that afternoon service too. But we're excited about Brother Prado being with us this coming Sunday. And you want to get some flyers in the foyer, and when you go somewhere tonight or tomorrow or this week, you want to pass those out. Take one to work and put it in a prominent place, or give it to your neighbor or to your in-laws or outlaws or whoever, and invite them to the house of God. And Brother Prado will be here in good form, and we'll have a good move of God. Everyone say praise the Lord. We're to the place right now where everything we do, and this may be the last time that Brother Prado preaches in this building. You know, so it's going to be like that. This may be the last time that we, whatever, you know. I hope it is. So we'll get on over to the other place and get that going. And then we won't be doing last things. We'll be doing first things. This is the first time we did this here. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Praise God. So James chapter 1, and here I am rambling, and we are on our short schedule. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be of kind of first fruits of his creatures. And this is where we were Sunday morning and Sunday night. So then, in light of that, in light of what God has done, wherefore, or because of this, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, or the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we're going to work on this tonight. As you're seated, let's give God thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. And we magnify you, O God, and we praise you, Lord God. And we thank you for allowing us to handle your word in this place. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. So, because of what God has done, he then begins to say what we should do. And Brother Kedrick, you're back at church. You've been cruising and running around. And I've been trying to give you a graduation gift for a long time now. So, bum, 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 bum. I'm a one-man orchestra. Congratulations, Brother Kid.
Thank you, Pastor. Bless you. Thank you.
And so you've completed training in HVAC.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize we've got like 15 units on that new building? And they're all older than you? We're going to need that. You want to give God some thanks for helping you with all this?
Yeah. If it weren't for the blessings of the Lord, I wouldn't have been able to do this. Never did I think I would be going to school. Once I started coming to live for God, I mean, he just set everything in motion, and he opened doors, and he just made it possible. And I wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Where's your little brother? Where's the diesel mechanic? I got one for him too. He's working. Goodness gracious. So, because of what God has done, now you do, or the letter to the church is, now the church does. This is moving into a frame of discussion. It's going to go on into chapter 2. This is the heartland of men are justified, not by faith alone, but by works. And James is already working on this, even in this first chapter. So God gives us good gifts. God gives us perfect gifts. He sends them down from above. He is not about to change. And of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we would be a first fruits of his creatures. And nobody ever contests. I mean, it would be a pitiful thing if God just believed that he loved us and was satisfied with that. He didn't come down and die for us. He didn't pour out the Holy Ghost. He didn't come see about us. He just believed in us. God in heaven believing in us, and we down here on the earth believing in him, and ain't nothing getting done. It's absurdity. It's theological absurdity. It's what it is. It's ignoring, a blatant ignoring of the word of God. So James says, wherefore, brethren, because God is good and because God does good things, let every man, now he's going to talk about what we should do. And so God is gracious and God is good. And those are not ideas. Those are actions. Those are deeds. Those are works. And God does good things. So this is the beginning of a discussion of application, or if you would, a discussion of works. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This involves what you do, and what you do determines your status in God. Is it performance based? Well, it is. It is based in the gospel. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you must receive the Holy Ghost. And when you do, it will be evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Because God has already set the covenant in place. He died for our sins. He's made a way for us. Because of what God has done, then what we do has some efficacy, has some reality about it or impact. So then what we do is now being spelled out in nuts and bolts here by our elder brother James. So, beloved brethren, don't be quick to anger. Always be quick to hear. He's going to meddle here. He's going to get involved in all sorts of things before we get through the book of James. But he's telling us, don't be an angry man. Don't be an angry woman. Don't shoot off your mouth. First, seek to understand, Covey says, and then to be understood. And so in regard or in response to the goodness and graciousness and the gifts of God, then we temper or change or mold our behavior. In response to God. And the reason why we want to do this, verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So you can't be the angry apostolic. You can't be fussing and cussing in your house and be an effective apostolic, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Touch your neighbor, tell him, cheer up. Tell them the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That means you got to have peace and you got to have joy. And if you're all upset and frowning and mad all the time, you need the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. Well, friend, you need a refill. You need more Holy Ghost until it makes you smile, until it makes you nice, until it makes you a good person to hang out with. All right. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's really an interesting turn of phrase. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So, again, we're going to, because God is good, we're going to do something. We're going to lay aside all filthiness. Well, that's everything that's not holy. That's everything that is not clean. It is unclean. And this is a discussion that's been going on all through the Old Testament about the clean and the unclean. It simply is that is acceptable to God and that is not, by the word of God, acceptable to God. So the word of God is our criteria for telling what is clean and what is unclean, or in this phrase, filthy. And superfluity of naughtiness just means don't be bad. Don't play with Egypt. Don't fraternize with the world. Don't come to the house of God and keep your foot in the things of the world. Come on in the house and be a for real actualizing apostolic. Come on in and let God turn you around and change your trajectory. Don't play at this. Do this for real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. God is real. You're going to die one day. That's real. You're not going to live forever. Not in this body. That is for real. Don't play games with this. You have inherent in your humanity, in your natural mind and spirit, you have the capacity to be untrue to yourself. Classic line out of Shakespeare, to thine own self be true, then it must follow as the night the day, thou canst not be false to any man. It wasn't original with Shakespeare. It goes back to the word of God. It is in every piece of literature or every culture's literature. The fact that people lie to themselves. You lie to yourself, you deceive yourself and others in the process, but shake yourself, get the cobwebs out. When you come to God, this thing is real. God really will save you. God really will change you. God really will bless you. Don't Don't play at this. So lay aside all these things that are not like the word of God. Laying aside is a suggestion of action. This has never been, not anywhere in the word of God, a thing to be felt, a thing to be thought. It is a thing to be lived, a thing to be done. So when you get to the end of the discussion at the white throne judgment, every man is judged according to his works. And it's replete there. It's twice in three verses. Every man's judged according to his works. So living for God is what we do. You are defined by what you do. This is performance related. It is only of any value because of what God has done. It's only of any value because of the system and the construct that God has created. But because God has set that in motion, and he did die for our sins, and he does have a plan, and he does have a universal church that we can be a part of, then what we do matters. Now, the world church would tell you, and they follow after the reformers, Martin Luther and Calvin and that crowd, and they've reduced it down to an idea, to a cognitive expression, to something that is simply academic. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and they've made that equated with salvation. But that's not the word of God. It never has been the word of God. And so here in the heartland of James, which, by the way, Luther hated, we are just hearing a drumbeat of this is what you do. And if you pay attention, it's all about that throughout the word of God. So we're going to work on that a little bit tonight. And then, I don't know, maybe some more the next time we meet. Superfluity of naughtiness has to do with thinking that you can play these games with God. And that is a sad, sad delusion. And he said, but do this, receive with meekness, humble yourselves, the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And so that's what we're doing in all these Bible studies. And that's why we've come here tonight. And that's why we've come in the middle of a work week. And we'll be back here on Sunday. And we'll plug into the word of God. And I want to hear the preaching of the word of God. And I want to know more. And some of you had your devotion today. And some of you wept over the pages of the word of God today. Because you really do want the engrafted word of God down in your heart. And that's a very good thing. Because it's able to save your soul. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Brother Tracy was just telling me that he's today following a vein of this type of scripture, and he mentioned Matthew chapter 7. And Matthew chapter 7 is where Jesus says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. And then he says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, we've cast out devils in your name, and we've prophesied in your name, and in your name we've done many mighty works. And he will say, he said, I'll say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then he tells that wonderful story about a man who builds a house on a rock and a man who builds a house on sand. And he's teaching in metaphor, he's teaching about building your house on the rock of the word of God, or obeying the word of God. Because at the end of that teaching, he said, whosoever hears and he does the word of God, I would liken him to a man who builds his house upon a rock. Now, that's exactly the point that James is making. He says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I'm glad you've come to hear the word tonight. And I'm glad that people are in church this Sunday morning and this Sunday night to hear the word of God. But we've got to get beyond hearing the word of God, and we've got to do the word of God. The word is something to be done. It's something to be lived. It's not just something to be handled and thought. It's actually requires a response. Well, praise God. And that is the system of God's word, all the way from the garden, all the way down to the last hurrah in the millennial. It matters what you do. Now, this is the great divide between Reformation theology and apostolic theology. This is the great divide, because we do believe it matters what you do. We believe it matters if you get baptized. We believe it matters how you get baptized. We believe it matters if you get the Holy Ghost. And friend, it's not just some silent infilling. God powerfully baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. And when he does, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And it matters if you do that. You must be born again. You've got to do that. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must do that. And tonight, or any night, would be too short to go through all that we must do in our response to the Word of God, because it's a pretty comprehensive package. In the Old Testament, one of the best pictures of it is Israel at Mount Sinai for 2 solid years, learning to be the people of God, getting the statute and the rule and the commandment down, building the structure for it, and learning how to walk before God. The disciples walk with Jesus for 3 years, getting the word of God presented to them and imparted to them. You can't just walk in the house of God and say, I believe, and have what God wants you to have. You're going to have to be built up by the word of God. And there are plenty of things to do. We've got business to do in the kingdom of God. The first thing to do is to get yourself saved. You get saved by repenting of your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost. You've got to do that. You have to do that. These things are not divine suggestions. These are mandates, and these are necessities, commandments by God. When the Italian Cornelius sends for Peter, according to the visitation of the angel that he got, he told Peter, when Peter walked in the door, and we are here to hear everything that is commanded you of God. We want to hear the commandments of God. Commandments are not suggestions. Commandments don't change relative to culture or time. They are the commandments of God. These are things that we have to do. Now, this is the great divide between Reformation theology, which you'll find all over North America in the modernist churches, in churches that have reduced the things of God down to a drive-through experience, a shallow cognitive experience. But this thing was never meant to be that. It was meant to be a life-altering experience, a package by which you can frame and reframe your life, your relationships, your mind. God has work he wants to do on you, and he does it by his word. And all you have to do is say amen to the word of God and begin to do what the word of God has said. He said, if you do that, you're a man, and we could enlarge it to say you're a woman who builds your house upon a rock. Listen, a storm is coming. You don't want to be in this world right now without having your foundation as the word of God. You really don't want to be all loose and shallow and without foundation today. This place is about to lose its mind. You think it's bad right now. Friend of mine, this world's about to see some things it's never seen before. And the Antichrist system is about to be revealed. And the day is going to be very, very dark. I'm not worried about it, because God's got light enough for the darkest get day. And where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And I believe in end time revival. But that's because I'm standing on the rock and I've got confidence in the things of God. You just really don't want to be anywhere else in the middle of the end time. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I want to do what God commands. And so James goes on into this in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Everybody say hearers. The modern Christian church is hearers. The apostolic church is doers. Let me say it another way. The world's church is hearers. God's church is doers. you're going to do what the Word of God says, or you're not going to be in God's church. It's not hateful. It's not mean. It's just God, and He's sovereign. It's just the way it is. Deal with it. Just say yes to God. And if you can't do that, that's your first problem, because you got to submit your will to God's will. And God's will is spelled out in the Word of God. So you got to make yourself an appointment with an altar and say, not my will, but God's will be done. You got to say yes to the Word of God. That's what amen means. Amen means my heart says, let it be so. My heart agrees with God. So the commandment here, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is an investigation of that, the last little clause there, deceiving your own selves. If you're only a hearer of the word of God, you have deceived yourself, James says. Why is that? Well, he's very clear. Just hearing the word doesn't do you any good unless you act upon it, unless you make application of the word of God. So be doers of the word and not hearers only. So here's the rationale. If any man be a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer, he's like a man. And you see, this is not a conversation that I started or instigated. This is a conversation that James started a long time ago in the first century church. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, or in a mirror, if you would. He looks at himself, he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. This is not a rare thing. Because people look at themselves every day. And they see the clarity of who they are. And they walk away saying, I am so special. I'm the best looking person that ever walked the face of the earth. They walk away, but they just looked right at themselves and they know that's not the truth. But he said it all begins here with looking at yourself, seeing yourself for who you are, and remembering who you are when you walk away. Looking in the Word of God and walking away without application, it's just like this man looking in the mirror. He beholds himself and goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so we don't just look into the word and say, oh, praise God, and then walk on and do what we want to do. We take the word of God and we pull things out. We extrapolate. We mine for things. We find things that are applicable to where we are right now in our walk, and things that we can understand, and we get them out of the Word of God and we bring them into our house, our life, our relationship, and we make them real, or we actualize them. Been talking quite a bit with theology groups on Sunday morning about three basic areas that we go out from ourselves in. One is prayer, one is worship, and the other is the Word of God. That's where we go out into the Spirit. And you go out into the Spirit of God and you get something. You get something good, because God is good, something powerful, something life-changing. You get it from God in the Word. For he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. You go into prayer and you get something and you bring it into your life, and then you put it down in your house and in your relationship and in your schedule and in your vocation, and you make it a part of your life and you actualize it, or you make it real in your life, and then you go out and you get more and you bring it back and you actualize that. And so you go get heavenly things and you bring them into an earthly context and you begin to build something. You weren't that person before, but now you're building a person that is more like heaven than he is or she is like the earth. You go out and you get some things, and now your family becomes something that's not like all the neighbors around you, not like maybe the family that you grew up in, but you're building something that God has commanded in it, that God is pleased with. And you go out and you get something and you bring it back into your city, and it starts like a seed in the earth, and then it begins to grow and it's revival and things begin to happen that nobody ever saw before. And you can go out into the Spirit, go out into the Word, and you get some things and you bring them back into your home, your family, your church, your life. So that's what James is talking about. You go into the Word of God, you get some stuff, you bring it into your life, you make it real by doing it, not only experiencing it in a cognitive manner. Because we are cognitive, we are affective, and we are perhaps skills. That might be the sum total of who and what we are. But it can't just be cognitive. You can't just know I know 5,000 scriptures. Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm excited. I want you to do that. But do you do those scriptures? You got to do the Word of God. The Word of God was meant to do. You got to live this thing. You got to make it real. You have to realize it or actualize it. And make it real. So whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I think about Psalms 1, and I think about, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This Word of God has real-time impact and implications. The Word of God really does make a difference in your life. Sunday we were talking about don't look for your answer in secular or natural things. Look for your answer in spiritual things, because spirit is primary. Give God the first shot. We want to seek God in everything that we do. Now, if you're... Cars don't have carburetors anymore, but if you had a car with a carburetor and it went bad, you'd want to go to a mechanic. I understand that. But, and I wouldn't. If you want to lay hands on it and pray for it, you could. God can heal a carburetor. But typically, that's miraculous because it's not natural, and, you know, you do better at the mechanic, probably. But in the ultimate things of life, in the most precious areas of life, mind the things of God, get stuff from God, bring that stuff back and do it. Don't just know it. Don't be a connoisseur of preaching. Well, that was good preaching tonight. And you hold up your little card, 7 for the preacher, you know, 6, 8, you know, you're grading, and you go home and you go eat your hamburger and you go on and live your life as if you never heard the Word of God, because you don't make application with it. But now he's given us application. He said, here's something for you to do. Don't be quick to speak. Be quick to hear. Don't be quick to wrath. Be slow to, by the way, when he says be slow to wrath, he tells you that your wrath is subject to your will. Well, I've got anger problems, and I can't help it. It just, my daddy was angry. And I'm angry, too. Am I making the babies cry? I'm sorry, baby. See, like, who's that angry man? I'm not coming for you. Bless her heart. See, now I made the baby cry. That's what you do when you're angry. Make babies cry. But when he says slow to wrath, he means your wrath is subject to your will. If you're getting mad, you know why you're getting mad? Because you don't have an answer and you don't have a solution, and anger makes you feel powerful for about a minute. But it doesn't accomplish a thing. It just makes toxins rise up all through your body and makes you sick and corrupts your relationships and makes you say stupid things. And so the scripture says, be slow to wrath, because you can control your wrath. Well, praise God. Don't look to the right or the left. I got to quit. We got people over there with supper ready. So we'll stop here. Mark chapter 7. Tiffany, you want to come play some Do the Word of God and Don't Just Hear It music? Just make it up. If you're really walking in the Spirit, you can just play that. So Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. Why don't we stand together? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. They talk about it, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me. You know, you can be a worshiper of God and it all be without any point. It's totally vain, because they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. They've set aside the word of God. Listen at what they say. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, like the washing of pots or cups. That's ritualistic religious behavior. And many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. The word of God says, get baptized. Your tradition says, I'm saved by grace, and that through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Well, I read that same Bible. James walked with that same man that wrote that. And he wasn't saying that you don't have to respond to the word of God. He was saying that no matter what you do, if grace is not in place and faith is not given, your works don't mean anything. But here's the news flash. Grace is in place and faith has been given, and we've got work to do. We've got to respond to the word of God. Why don't we all gather in around the altar tonight just for a second? Praise God. And just lift up your hearts and just tell God, God, I want you to tell me what I need to do next. God, I want you to show me what your word has for me. God, I want you to lead me into your word and teach me, God. Praise God. Somebody just needs to say, God, I'm going to do what your word has already said. God, I'm going to obey what your word has already spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the name above every name, you could lay your hand on somebody by you there, or take somebody by the hand. Mighty God, worthy God, holy God, praise God. Go ahead and lift your life up before him. God will hear you and God will talk to you. Jesus, tell me what I need to do next. Tell me what you love. Show me. Open your book to me. Open your word to me, oh God. Tell me what I need to do. Lead me, God, by your word. Help me, mighty God. Ah, do it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name. Help me to be a doer of your word, oh God, not just a hearer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For that one that's next to you, just lay your hand on them and tell the Lord, make them a doer, oh God. Make them a doer of the word. Bring it forth in them, God. Bring forth the fruit of your word in their life, oh God. Show, God, show them what your word can do. Praise God. And when you talk about it, talk in tongues. Say what you know and then let God pray over them. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I long to look on your face, oh God. I want to stay in your presence where I belong. Jesus, where I
praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. Ah, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We lift you, Lord. We magnify. We magnify you, Jesus. Praise God. We've got a brother that's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name. And that's a wonderful thing. So, we're so glad to be with you in the house of God on a Wednesday night. And so we're going to go over now and we're going to have a time of fellowship. Want you to please join with us and make sure we have a good time of fellowship. Remember, your children belong to you. So make sure you know where they are, or just we'll buy you some ski rope or something so you can tie them to yourself. But don't let your children run loose. And everybody helps take care of it after. It makes many hands make light work. So, Nathan, why don't you pray for us tonight? Pray over the meal for us in the fellowship.